Psalm 25, 1 to 22, using scripture to nurture the heart. There's a lot of stress and strain on the inner man in today's world. After last week's tragic school shooting in Texas, a columnist by the name of Michael Graham wrote, "Can America fix anything?" And he asserted, "Watching the heart-wrenching scene of sobbing parents mourning school children lost due to senseless violence, and as an angry parent, he was convinced that we can't fix anything. One reason is our lack of faith in our would-be fixers. America's current crop of elites, technocrats, bureaucrats, politicians who are supposed to be in the solution business, are lousy at their jobs," end of quote. Such incompetence occurred at the local shooting site itself. When the gunman arrived, the school officer was driving nearby but was not on campus, leaving him unable to confront the shooter before he entered the building. The crisis came to an end roughly an hour later when a group of Border Patrol tactical officers entered the school. They had to drive 75 miles, apparently, to come and enter the school. In connection to this, we face damaging fallout to children caused by school closures during the COVID-19 pandemic. The closures did little to suppress the spread of COVID-19 infections, but it did enormous damage to children's social and academic development. It also spawned a new and disturbing trend of mental illness and even suicide among young people. The national baby formula shortage crisis is another stress point. Experts say the products long have been vulnerable to this type of crisis due to decades of government policies that have allowed a handful of companies to corner the market. All that was needed to set off the crisis was for a charge to be made about a product contamination in the largest baby formula producing plant in America and the FDA's reaction of shutting it all down. And then you had the crisis. However, Cynthia Allen's column, Breastfeeding Reconsidered, added that one of the major factors that contributed to our outsized dependence on baby formula is the appalling lack of education and support for mothers in their early postpartum days. While there are sometimes necessary reasons for mothers to feed their babies formula, there really isn't any disagreement over the benefits of nursing. We face the strain of a single-party dominance. The editorial impartiality, a distant goal, claimed many levels of power are controlled by a single party regardless of electoral outcomes. The federal bureaucracies, which have amassed an inordinate amount of power thanks to executive overreach and legislative delegation, and political nonprofits throughout Washington are still dominated by Democrats. And then because of the seemingly relentless presence of such stresses and strains today, the mental health that we face in this country is a rising concern. This was evidenced by Daniel Henninger's column in the May 19, 2022 issue of the Wall Street Journal, and it was titled "The Next Pandemic, Mental Illness." So we ask, in view of the stress and the strain on the inner man today, what's the path toward fulfillment? Psalm 25, 1 to 22 contains repeat references to David's personal afflictions in verses 2, 3, 15 through 18, an awareness of guilt for the sins of his youth in chapter 25, verse 7, and his great current sins, verses 8, 11, 18, besides the afflictions of the nation Israel in verse 22. And since these afflictions in the dispensation of the law occurred as God's discipline for violating his law, according to Deuteronomy 28:15-25, David realized that he and Israel had violated the law out of ignorance. We talked about this, we talked about this in our Sunday school class earlier this morning. I believe that a lot of sin that occurs, not only outside the church, but in the church, comes because of ignorance. People don't know the will of God, therefore they don't do the will of God, and as a result of it, they get into difficulties. So David recognized he had this problem. Psalm 25, 1 to 22 is an acrostic psalm where each verse begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And this emphasizes Hebrew words and thus the Hebrew words of the scriptures. You'll notice we've got 22 verses here, and so you've got 22 different letters of the Hebrew alphabet that begin different verses. The psalm also repeatedly expresses the need to be instructed in God's righteousness for blessing. It does it in verses 4 and 5, 8 through 10, 12 through 15, And it coincides with the promise of blessing for obeying the law in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 to 14. So David realized the need both in himself and in the nation Israel to enhance their understanding of God's word and his righteousness, that they might heed him for blessing and to end their many afflictions. So I recognize I need to get to the word of God. I need the people of Israel to get into the word of God, to read it, to understand it, so that they can do it. And as they do that, do the will of God, then God will bless. So for the motivation then to learn scripture, David stated blessings that God provides for those who are teachable. These are wonderful blessings. First of all, David clarified that if one hopes in God, he will not be put to shame. Let me read about that. Verse 3. Yea, let none that wait on you be ashamed. You would be God here. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. And then also verse 20. David wrote, O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Living above being shamed or being put to shame is one of the blessings that comes as a result of knowing the will of God and doing it. Then David added that God guides the meek in the right decisions, and he teaches them his ways. In verse 9, the meek he will guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. There's real hope if we are humble, and if we look to the Lord in humility, he will teach us. He loves to teach those who are humble. And then David noted that all of God's paths are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who obey him. Verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy or loyal love and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. So if a person obeys the word of God, if he heeds the word of God, he's going to find truth and loyal love, the loyal love from the Lord coming in his direction. Then King David observed that if one reveres God, God instructs him in the way that he should choose. His inner man will experience well-being, and his descendants will inherit the land in stability. This all starts with respect for God. This is one thing that is really missing in our culture today, a healthy respect for God, healthy reverence for God. But if we have a healthy reverence for God, we have a tendency to pay attention to what he says. And then as we have a pay attention to what he says, as we do that, then God blesses us. Verses 12 and 13, David wrote, what man is he that reveres the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed, that's his offspring, shall inherit the earth. Tremendous blessings just from revering God. Then the psalmist claimed that God confides in those who revere him, giving them insight in his word. Verse 14, the secret of the Lord, or the secret advice, or the secret counsel of the Lord is with them that revere him, and he will show him his covenant. You want to get to know God? You want to be spiritually intimate with the Lord? Really get to know him and him to communicate with you? Revere the Lord. He'll show you his word. Then the psalmist, David stated that paying heed to God is rewarded by his delivering David from traps that other people set for him. In verse 15, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, and he shall pluck my feet out of the net. The net is the trap that somebody sets for an animal. And many times there are people who will seek to entrap you or me in our way of life. The way out of that is to get God's help. And the way we get God's help in regards to this situation is by paying heed to God and God's word. It's many times God will protect us from entrapment by other people if we're just going about our daily lives and just simply obeying him. It's amazing how much he can do to protect us. Then David acknowledged that relying on the Lord solved his needs of loneliness and relationship trials. This is a big problem today. Notice verse 16. Turn unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate or lonely and afflicted. There are a lot, especially of young people, people in their 20s today, who feel that they have been cut off, lonely. A lot of these shooters who are shooting in schools and churches and so forth, they've been isolated culturally and socially, and they feel lonely, and they're angry, and they're frustrated. Well, the solution for this is found by relating to the Lord and relying on the Lord as a result of paying attention to his word eases that loneliness and the relationship trials that we face. Then David wrote that though trials of his inner man increase, God brings him out of all of them. In verse 17, the troubles of my heart are enlarged or increased, or bring me out of my distresses. It's amazing when people come to know the Lord and come to trust in him, how many different problems that they've had in their lives, sometimes problems going back over the decades, are released. Absolutely released because of the power of the Word of God. And then David noted that hoping in God, his integrity and his uprightness protected him from troubles. Verse 21, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. A lot of times we get into awkward situations in relationships, sometimes when we're in the marketplace, sometimes in dealing with other people. And what we desperately need in a situation like that is not to lose our cool, not to blow our stack, because that's very costly in many ways, but to have the integrity and the uprightness to control ourselves and to function uprightly. That comes as a result of hoping in God, and that hoping in God comes as a result of knowing what his word says. So when David and Israel lived in ignorance of God's word, they suffered great affliction for disobeying the Lord in ignorance. However, for the teachable, who were motivated in hope by God's blessings, growth in knowing the scriptures would lead to abundant blessings with the resulting nurture of the inner man. And boy, do we need nurturing of the inner man today. There's a tremendous need for this. And not only is it showing up in regards to mental illness and stresses and strains, and so many people are going through stresses and strains. I deal with this many, many times as a pastor on a regular basis. But it's something that is growing, and it's affecting increasingly younger people and even down to the level of children. And this is a concern for me as a pastor as well. So in application, the number one starting point is, may we trust in Christ who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin that we might receive God's gift of eternal life. The reason I emphasize this is because we've got to be in right relationship with God in order for us to be blessed. Without a proper relationship with God, we don't have the Spirit of God indwelling us to equip us to live a life, to think the right way, and to do the right things. And this is what many people in our country need. The Bible tells us that all of us have sinned, including the speaker himself. All of us have come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. But Jesus Christ, God's Son, was sent to this earth. He died on the cross in our place. He bore the penalty and the punishment of the penalty of our sin against him. He died, he was buried, he bodily rose again from the dead. And as a result of that, when we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are given eternal life, we are forgiven our sins, and we become children of God. If you haven't made that decision yet, please do so today. And then in view of the many edifying results of being teachable so as to grow in our understanding and hence of our obedience of God's word, may we expose our minds and our hearts to God's word and find great and assorted blessings, especially for the inner man. Now, in this conclusion section, I want to apply this. I want to show you how practical it is. In accord with our sermon conclusion, we view Scripture on properly handling the issues of concern mentioned in our introduction that address the need for nurturing the inner man. On the Texas school shooting tragedy, and the sense of today's leaders being inept at fixing this kind of problem, we've often noted, as we did in the adult Sunday school class earlier this morning, that Revelation 3:21 with 7:17 predicted a mini great tribulation for our era, where oppressive leaders full of intrigue would afflict their subjects, producing disillusionment to where people would seek solutions and find them in Bible teaching churches. See, what's happening is God is allowing some of these controls to come undone so that people will see that there's a tremendous amount of weakness in the leaders that we have, not only in government, but in the other institutions, business realms, medical realms, you name it. So our part is to point people to salvation of sinners from sin and hell by faith in Christ and his atonement for sin, followed by a life of depending on the Holy Spirit for renewal of the inner man And we're going to cover that renewal section down in number 5, and we get to it later on. Also, as many violent male shooters come from homes of dysfunctional fathers, it's amazing how many of these shooters, in fact, I don't think I know of one in the last 2 years who came from a home where there was an actually functional father in it. There's a tremendous need in this realm. Psalm 128, verses 1 through 6, teaches that if a male head of household reveres and obeys the Lord, his marriage first, then his family, that would include his children, then his community, then the nation, and finally the world will be positively influenced for blessing. So the solution to school shootings is not found in technocrats, bureaucrats, politicians who are supposed to be on the solution business. It's in male heads of households at the local family level coming to trust in Jesus Christ and Savior and walking by means of the Holy Spirit's power. You see, growing boys in particular need a dad. They need a dad who knows what it's like to roughhouse with a boy because he himself was a boy at once time. But nevertheless, he teaches his boy to control that roughhousing tendency that they have so that they don't do harm. That's something that is taught by a male leader, and boys need that. They need to be boys, but nevertheless, they need a father's strong hand to show them the limits of their behavior and then to teach them how to be productive. There's a tremendous need in this. You can take a child, and they have found this, you take a young man growing up in a minority race, in a slum area, if he has a father at home who cares for him, he will not get into drugs and he will not get into crime. They've shown this over and over again. They're getting into drugs and crime because they don't have dads at home. So, on the negative fallout on children due to COVID-19 school closures, the solution, once again, is for dads, the fathers, to revere the Lord and to obey him, as noted in Psalm 128, 1-6 above. Incidentally, they're finding also that girls, as they're beginning to grow, get into the teen era and so forth, they actually need the dad slightly more than even the mom, because a father knows how to put the finishing touches on the rearing of a child and provide that stability and that direction that is necessary. We have a problem in our country. We have a fatherless country. We need more fathers. Fathers who love the Lord and who are taking the responsibility to rear their kids. On the baby formula, shortage crisis. Since the crisis is attributed to the incompetency of bloated government bureaucracies and ignorance of postpartum mothers of the superior benefits of nursing and support of postpartum mothers, we need to function as independent of the government as we possibly can. We've mentioned this a number of times, but 1 Thessalonians 4:11 to 12 says, seek to do your own work with your own hands so that you won't be in any need and that you won't be dependent upon anybody else. Paul wanted Christians to be as independent as they possibly could. And then we need to highlight the importance of family and extended family roles in supporting postpartum mothers. Titus 2, 3, and 5 says that the older women in the church should teach the younger women how to be keepers in the home. We had, in the home church that I was raised in California, we had a lady. She was a grandmother. And she took it upon herself to be the head of the nursery. And the reason she did is she noticed that a lot of mothers were coming in. They didn't know how to take care of their babies. And they were concerned. They had problems about nursing, had problems about colicky and so forth. And this grandmother, she was an old wife from the Midwest. She knew it all. And she would say, honey, look, sit down and boom. And she would just lead them and guide them. She did it in such a way, she was a mother to mothers. And she got to know every one of the children in the church, their parents and everything. She could even recommend what doctors are better than others because she'd been there, she'd done that. And she was a tremendous help in the church. And there's been a breakdown. It used to be in the old days, you'd have the mothers and the grandmothers could help the young mothers coming along, but there's been enough of a breakdown in the family. There's so much dysfunction out there. A lot of young mothers don't have that help, and they need it. So we can start to do that even within our church. On the stress of a single-party dominance, regardless of electoral outcomes in elections, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 to 24, and the English Standard Version claims that God sovereignly sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who also brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Our focus should be on our sovereign God and obeying him, confident that he can easily shift circumstances so that the single party dominance means nothing of consequence, while God accomplishes his will both in the world and in our personal lives. The only reason God is allowing things to occur as he's allowing today, he's allowing a mini tribulation to come along because he's trying to wake the world up, trying to wake the church up. We need to get back to God. We've dismissed God from our schools. We've dismissed prayer from schools, and now we've got shootings in schools. We need to get God back, and that's what he's doing. He's allowing things to fall apart so that people will learn. Then, on the alleged imminent mental health crisis that Daniel Henninger in the Wall Street Journal termed the next pandemic, the fruit of God, the Holy Spirit, who indwells everyone who has put his faith in Jesus Christ for salvation from sin and hell, is described as being love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, according to a Christian family therapist who ministered to the American Mission to Open Churches, a group of pastors there in Olcott, New York, each of these qualities is the opposite of a known psychological disorder. So, providing the cause of mental or emotional problem is not physical in nature, and chemical imbalances can do this. Mental health, is achieved by personal salvation from sin by faith in Christ, where the Holy Spirit comes to indwell one's soul, followed by a continued reliance by the believer on the Holy Spirit for thought and behavior control. Because if you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, you're going to love, you're not going to hate. You're going to be full of joy, not sorrow. You're going to be at peace, not restless. You're going to be patient, not impatient, and so forth. All of those qualities show up. Also, psychological tests performed on a group of Christians found that those who consistently spent time in Scripture were the only group who showed no significant pathology, that is, no significant problem in the inner man. I'm quoting a psychiatrist who's a Christian, Dr. Frank Minerth, in his book, You Can Measure Your Mental Health. And he told us about this, and he's written it in his book. I got to meet Dr. Minerth when I was a student at Dallas Theological Seminary. He's a born-again Christian, psychiatrist, which means he can deal out in medical knowledge. He's a medical doctor. He can dispense drugs and whatnot. But they said that if Christians are constantly within the Word of God, they find that there's no significant pathology, no significant aberrant behavior and orientation in their thinking and their actions. That's the effect of the Word of God. And so we need the Word of God. So may we trust in Christ, who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's gift of eternal life, and may we be teachable so as to grow in our understanding of God's word, with our resulting growth and obedience to it for manifold blessings, especially to the nurture of our inner man in today's world. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the word of God and for how it addresses the needs that we have in the man of God in today's world. It's interesting, Father, to see how you've allowed circumstances to arise in our world that makes it very clear that the only solution is getting back to the Lord, getting back to a relationship with God, getting back to the Word of God, using it. So foundational, so important. Young men need it today. Boys and girls need it today. Women need it today. Mothers of nursing babies, fathers, people in government, people in business. We need all of it. All of us need the Lord, and we need the Word of God. We ask, Father, that if there's anyone in our service this morning or who may be listening by way of the MP3 recording or the cell phone who as yet has not made that decision to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would do so today to start a pilgrimage of relating to you for blessing and for the nurture of the inner man. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.